Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 15 tonight as we start out. Genesis 15, we're going to read a couple verses there and we'll go from there. Got it? Genesis chapter 15?
Yes.
Everybody got it? Genesis 15. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's go there. Verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Now, Father, we thank you tonight for the anointing on your word. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, minds that are receptive, spirits that are alive. And we thank you for revelation. And we thank you, Lord, we'll just partake of the life of God tonight through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I read those two verses because, I want to preach on something. I'm going to preach on this, and then you'll understand it as we go along. The title may not make sense to you yet until we explain it, but I'm going to talk about knowing God as Adonai. I'll spell it for Scott. He's looking confused because he puts the he puts the names on the media. A-D-O-N-A-I, Adonai. Everybody say Adonai. So I'm going to talk about knowing God as Adonai. In the Bible here now, in Genesis 15, I read those verses for this reason. When you look at verse 1, it talks about, says, the word of the Lord. It's capital L-O-R-D in your Bible. At least most Bibles do it that way. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll find there's places where the name Lord is capitalized. The whole thing's in caps. And that's because that is the name that we in English call Jehovah or Yahweh. And so that name is capitalized throughout the Bible translation. But now you go to the second verse here, and it's capital L, but then the rest of the Lord is in lowercase. That's because it's not the same the same name for Lord there as it was in verse 1. The name for Lord right here is Adonai. Now, that's throughout the Old Testament. I don't know that all Bible translators do it. I don't know. But I do know the King James, the New King James, and some of the others do that. They will capitalize the name that we are familiar with, Jehovah, which just means, that name means the covenant-making, covenant-keeping, God. That's what it stands for, the self-existing one. In other words, if you're looking for anybody to sustain him, look on, because you're not going to find anybody that can, the sustaining him. He's self-existing, and he makes covenant with us. And so that's the covenant, and see, God told Moses, he said, by my name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, I was known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. That's the way the King James says it. By my name, God Almighty, I was known to them, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. El Shaddai, or God Almighty, El Shaddai means the God who, the God that sustains, provides, and he's all sufficient. He has everything that you need. And so, but Jehovah meant covenant-keeping God. So he told Moses, he said, by my name Jehovah, or by my name Yahweh, by my name L-O-R-D capitalized, I'm going to make myself known to you. In other words, the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm bringing you out of Egypt, and we're going to fulfill this covenant. But now here, Abraham, now you understand, this writing here, where it says the word of the Lord, God didn't make himself known to Abraham by that. It may seem like that, but this is written after the fact. Moses most likely wrote Genesis. So he's using that name that he knows about God. Are you following what I just said there, or did I confuse you? All right. But what I'm making, my point that I want to make is this. Abraham called him L-O-R-D or Adonai. Now, Adonai has a specific meaning. The word Adonai means master or owner or Lord. It means master overall. Hey, get this. It also means boss. And it means the one we bow down to. In other words, when Abraham, I hope you understand what I'm saying. When God said Abraham did not know him as Jehovah, even though Jehovah's in Genesis, it's written by a man that knew him by Jehovah. You got me? All right. But he said, I didn't make myself known to them by that. I made myself known as El Shaddai. I'm making myself known to you, Moses, as Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. But here Abraham calls him Adonai, the Lord God, the Almighty. All right. So he calls him Adonai. In other words, I'm making a point that Abraham had a revelation about God that he was owner. Hallelujah. He was the master. Hallelujah. Right? In other words, he realized that he was a servant of God. He was God's servant. Now, he had come out of the land of his nativity. He had come out of there and because God told him to. So he's wandering in a land that's not his own because God told him to. He's dwelling in tents because God told him to. So he's just being obedient to God. He's obeying God. And he's got a revelation that God is Adonai. In other words, God's in control. And this name, Adonai, it indicates and signifies ownership. It indicates, you know, that we have the personal responsibility of being owned by God. Now, we live in a society today that does not like this at all. But we as believers, we can't let that world, that spirit of the world, get into our thinking and into the church. We are owned by God by right of creation and by right of redemption. He created us. He redeemed us. He owns us. Right? You know, we get so weird in our society. Just don't think that. Don't let that get in you. Don't let that renew your mind. Fight that. Right? You know, it's like now you don't own your dog or your cat. That's offensive. It's like, sorry, but that little critter is going to starve to death if I don't do something about it. Are you with me? You know, it's just gotten weird because people have gotten weird. But and if you bring this over in the church, it's like, well, nobody tells me what to do. And you know, not even God. But let me tell you, if God bought you, He owned you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Did you know that in the New Testament it says that we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit? Right? It says we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't even own your body. Right? You shouldn't be doing stuff with your body without permission from God. Right? You shouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, people do all kinds of things in our society with their bodies. They tat them, they pierce them and all that. But what about God? That's His body. Well, quiet on that. But God happens. How many know God owns your body? Well, nobody owns my body. I want it back. Well, you'll have to go to hell to get it back because He bought it. He redeemed it. Now, the alternative to that is that the devil owned it at one time. But thank God Jesus bought it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we have to break this mentality that, you know, we're, you know, God knows it's the American spirit. And there is some good things about that, as long as you don't cross the line. There is that good thing that we're not going to submit to dominion from tyrants and everything else. That's good. We're not going to submit to dominion of those that are evil. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't go so far that we're not going to submit to God and to good and to His word. Right? I mean, listen, man, you read the Old Testament, they said that we, in the three Hebrew children, we'd rather burn than bow. Right now, the world's trying to get the church to bow, and unfortunately, there's a lot that are, but we shouldn't be that way. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, so let's just look at this tonight about knowing God as Adonai. Abraham knew God as Adonai. He knew Him as Lord, as owner, as my master. I like the word boss. I mean, we know what boss means, right? Yeah, that's my wife. Well, at least you know, right? So, and the interesting thing, this is the very first time this name is used for God in the Bible. Abraham had allowed God to become Adonai to him. In other words, Abraham had just left his entire lifestyle, his entire life, to follow what God said. We don't know that much about Abraham's background from the Bible, but if you do a little bit of study, Abraham came from a region of the earth where there is probably no doubt that he needed some redemption. He probably was living a paganistic lifestyle, and then God showed up and revealed Himself to him, the true God. Amen. You know where he came from. You know they were worshipers of the sun. You know, they were moon worshipers and sun worshipers, and it's just crazy. But you know, and the devil would get a hold of these people, and so he came out of that lifestyle, and now God's called him out and says, "I want to be your God." Amen. See, that's what he's telling him in Genesis 17. "I'll be a God to you. I'll be your God." You know what? Guess what? Here's what I found out. Our God is, there isn't any other gods, by the way, but let's just say our God is, he's bigger than any God the world serves. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I just want to talk to you about this because if we don't get this revelation, then we just do what we want to. You know, when I live where I live at, I'm not talking about the particular house necessarily, but I'm just talking about I live in this part of Indiana because God put me here. That's the only reason I'm here. Because, I mean, that's the reason why I came here. It's not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's why I came here, because God said to go here. I didn't do this because I thought it would be a good idea. I didn't do this because, you know, I just wanted to do it. Just needed to change things up a little bit here. No, you got to understand, God's got to become the Lord, the master of your life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And when He tells me something out of His Word, that's just as good as if He told me by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Right? See, when He tells me to do things out of the Bible, what He commands me to do, then He's my Lord. He's my master. Hallelujah. Amen. And so let's go to, I tell you what, let's go to Exodus chapter 21. And, you know, if you'll say amen a little bit better, I might not preach all that long. All right. And then again, I might. Exodus 21, go there. You know what? Listen to me. This is really, you know, these kind of messages and things like this, they don't necessarily sell all that well, you know. But I'll tell you what, this is where we really get into the deep things with God, and you start experience His riches and all. And I'll show that to you out of the Bible here in a little bit, maybe if we have time. But go to Exodus 21. Are you there? All right, verse 1. It says, now let me just stop just before we read it. What we're about to read is the law of the bondservant. Now, what is a bondservant? A bondservant, you know, there's a servant, but then there's a bondservant. Now, a bondservant was a servant that could go free, was let free, but chose to stay as a servant. So God had laws about that. So let's read this. Verse 1. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. In other words, this was what would happen if a Hebrew person got in debt, couldn't pay the debt, and they needed the money, they could sell himself as a servant. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife will go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and if she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. How many love your master? I love my master, my wife, my children. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall bring him unto the door, and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that's the way they did it. If a person, you know, like this, decided that, you know, they didn't want to go free, they wanted to stay a servant, they could go free, but they didn't want to, then they'd bring them to the doorpost, you know, and they'd put their earlobe and take an awl and pierce it through, and that's committed. Yep. I mean, that, you know, no, they didn't knock you out. No, they didn't numb it. Amen. This was a homemade piercing job. Amen. I can remember when my sister was young, little, a girl, you know, probably just a teenager at home, deciding that she wanted her ears pierced. You know, in those days, you didn't have all the piercing places, you know, and all that. You just did it yourself. And I remember that process of her putting ice cubes on her ear, you know, doing a little bit of more piercing, put ice cube on there, deaden it, and finally you got through and you stuck the earring in, and there you go. I thought, buy clip-ons. Yeah. It's like too much pain for that. So how many understand this? Well, if you did this, I mean, you were pierced. This was painful. This hurt. But it was a commitment to your master. Now, if you're going to be a servant of God, there's going to be some pain along the way sometimes. What do you mean? Well, I'll talk to you about that. But let's talk a little bit about this first. Let's talk about the bondservant. Because when Paul, you know, Paul in the today there's just such a big thing about, you know, titles. I'm apostle this and I'm prophet this and all that. And I don't know, some of them are just empty cans, I think. But anyway, and they've got a label put on them. But, you know, but the thing of it is Paul, when he's talking to the Romans, he said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle. He put servant before apostle. Now, that word where he said, I'm a servant, it's the word bondservant, which what Paul's saying was, I could be free, but I've chosen to be a servant. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this, because this is really important for us to understand, because there's some teaching that will confuse you if you don't understand this. But you and I, in position as believers and in inheritance, we're sons of God. That's who we are. See, we're not in position and inheritance. We're not servants. We're sons. In other words, we have the inheritance of sons. Now, we can choose whether we're going to be a servant of God. That's our choice. Now, it doesn't change our position, but we actually become sons that serve. You know, sons alone, all they do is want. Amen. Come on, how many know your kids growing up, till they grow up a little bit, all they do is want. Isn't that right? You know, and then one day, just out of the blue, you never know when it's going to happen, they come into the kitchen and say, Mom, can I help you with anything? And then Travis is shaking his head like, that happened yet. One day, Travis. And what happens is when that happens is then they have to pick you up off the floor. It's like, what? Did I hear you right? What happened? Well, there's something called growing up, see. Now, some people, they get there a little earlier than some. Some people get there when they're in their 40s or 50s. Some never get there, all right? Just so you know this. But there's something about that. See, sons want, servants serve. See, you know, we went through a period in the church and there was nothing wrong with it because we didn't know, where all we taught about is what we have in Christ. And that's good. We need to know that. I still teach on that. But you got to understand there's another side of this. It's are we going to serve God? Are we going to be His servants?
Right.
Amen. Someone came to me in this church one time, almost had to get picked up. And they said, Pastor, you do a lot of teaching. And they meant this in a good way. They said, you do a lot of teaching about what we have in Christ and who we are and what God's given us. And you do a lot of teaching on that. Do you have any teaching on what we're supposed to do for God? I thought, get out of here. What are you doing? Don't sneak up on me like that. Give me some warning if you're going to act grown up. I said, I sure do. And I gave him some of the, you know, I referred him to some teaching I'd done on, you know, our responsibility. You know, we have a responsibility. How many know that? And our responsibility is we choose to be servants. We you know, we don't just, you know, we're not servants. I understand, because maybe you've heard this. I've heard preachers say, we're not servants, we're sons. Well, that is true if you explain it. In position and inheritance, we're not servants. God's made us sons, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, we can choose to be a bondservant. Now, you're going to go to heaven whether you choose to be a servant or not, but you're going to miss a lot of good things and a lot of blessings along the way. Because there are some blessings that are reserved for servants. No weapon shall formed against thee. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And in the last days, I will pour my spirit out upon my servants, and my handmaidens or maidservants. Wow. Right? God has prosperity, pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. So there's some blessings that servants are going to walk in that just sons and daughters may not attain to because they haven't reached a place of maturity to be trusted with it. Amen. You know, your kids have to grow to a certain age before you trust them with certain things. Isn't that right? You show some responsibility, then you get the car. You don't get it. Amen. Like a boy, you know, like a story I heard, a 18-year-old, you know, his dad told him, you know, he's still living home. His dad told him, he said, look, he said, you know, there's some, he said, he came in and he asked dad, he said, can I borrow the car keys? And dad said, well, he said, there's three areas you got to clean up. And I've talked to you about them. You haven't cleaned them up. Until you clean them up, you're not getting the keys. He said, well, tell me them again. He said, number one, get your hair cut. I heard that all the time. Not for a long time. But as a teenager, I heard that. Just, that was a constant thing. Get your hair cut. Get your hair cut. Get your hair cut. And so he said, get your hair cut. Start coming in on time of the nights. And get your grades up. He said, okay, I'll do that. So he came back about a month later and said, Dad, you notice my hair's cut? Yeah, no, I'm proud of you, son. You notice my grades are up. He said, yeah, I'm proud of you, son. He said, well, can I have the car keys? His dad said, what about coming home on time? He said, well, he said, you know, I got them wrong. Mm-hmm. Baby, back up. He came home. he came home and he got everything done but his haircut. All right, is that, you got that? He got everything done. This is my story. I can tell it the way I want to tell it.
Wait. That makes sense.
That's what I was thinking. I think, this isn't making sense. All right. He came home. Let's just forget it. What do you say? He came home, and he had got his grades up. He had come in on time, but he didn't get his hair cut. And his dad said, what about your hair? He said, well, Jesus had long hair. His dad said, yeah, he walked everywhere, too. So that's what you could do. You know, as we grow in God, as we show ourselves servants of God, I think He's got blessings for us that others aren't going to, they're not going to be able to partake of. They're just not going to have. Now, so this word bondservant, and we talked about that. That word bondservant means you could be free. It means that you've chosen to be a bondservant. The word bondservant, where Paul said he's a servant of God, bondservant, it means totally owned. Totally owned. One whose will is altogether consumed in the will of another. Now, I will never forget, Brother Steve, I was going to preach at a church, and on the way up there, the Lord spoke to me. And this is like 1990s. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said to me, He said, "Are you totally owned by me?" Now, I knew what He was saying. I know He's purchased me. I know He's bought me. I know He really owns me. But what He meant was, are you allowing me to have ownership in all areas of your life? Now, I had grown to the point. Now, years ago, if He'd asked me that in the 80s, I said, why, yes, praise God, hallelujah. But now, all of a sudden, I realize, wait a minute, I don't think I want to say yes. I think I'm going to say I'm working on it. Because I realize there might be some areas in my life where God's not in control or has a say-so. I still do. How many know Jesus was a bondservant? You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that, he was praying and he said, he knew what was coming, the cross. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. He said this. He said, Lord, if there's any, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you in the natural, he didn't want to do what he was about to have to do. Is that right? But aren't you glad that he said, not my will, but yours be done. Now what does that tell you? Now, this may sound a little irreverent, but it's not. It's just, if you read it, that's what it says. In other words, at that point, his will wasn't to do what was in front of him. See, if his will had been in line with God's will, he wouldn't have said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, what did he do? In other words, in the natural, he didn't want to do it. Well, who would? See? Who wouldn't want to go through that? But see, he didn't sin because he got it lined up, didn't he? He said, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, I'm going to submit my will to your will. See, what is a bondservant? Someone whose will is all the way wrapped up in the will of another. In other words, I may not want to do this, but if this is what you want done, I'm going to do it this way. Yeah. Amen. This may not be what I would choose to do, but if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. And the Bible says that in that struggle, as he was praying, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I mean, remember that. You know, that's a literal condition. It starts with an H, hematrosis or something like that. That's probably not how you pronounce it. But anyway, it's actually a condition. When you look at it, you study it out, you find out that literally that's a very rare thing that ever happens to anybody. But occasionally it does happen where people actually sweat blood. And they say, medical science says, it happens when a person's under great stress. Great stress. So there was such spiritual warfare going on in Jesus' life at that time when he was praying that he actually sweat great drops of blood. It's like, if I remember reading this years ago, the capillaries, is that how you say it? Under the skin break because of that stress, that pressure. That's how much pressure he went through for us to fulfill the will of God. Think about it. None of us have ever had pressure like that. But he had that kind of pressure where he chose, Philippians says he chose to be a servant. He took upon him the form of a servant. But because of it, God highly exalted him. So there's benefit in doing this. Amen. There's benefit in doing the will of God. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 12. You get anything tonight?
Yes.
I don't know how long I've been going. I didn't start my clock, but we're not done yet. But look, we're winding down. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Go there if you would. Romans chapter 12. Because, you know, listen, we can't, you know, I see people do this all the time. And this is, you know, look, I see people, they just jump around here and they just jump around there. I see preachers do that. They just jump from one church to another, do one thing to another. That can't be the will of God. God's not that fickle. Right? So you're going to, you know, you're going to, Brother Hagin used to say that ministers die young because they get out of the will of God. They die young. And so, you know, you can't just jump and do what you want to do with your life. You got to find out what the master said. Are you with me now? You know, you can't just marry who you want to marry. You say, well, I already did. Well, stick with it. But I'm telling you, when you get committed to God, you don't just, you know, I think it was Ernest T. Bass said, what was it, a chipmunk? That he said he ought to be like a chipmunk, you know, muskrat, was a muskrat or chipmunk, muskrat, sticks their head out of their hole and grabs the first female that walks by. He said, that's what I ought to do. Well, that's bad counsel. And why? Because the first female that walks by might not be the female or the male for you, right? If you're a male, female, if you're a female, male.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. You know, 101. This isn't hard. Right? I mean, you know, God made us different for reasons. But anyway, so here's the thing. See, you don't just choose that. You know, for your sinners, you do. You know, maybe you got married and you didn't even know God. But, you know, God works all that out. Right? You know, like a guy came to a minister I know, and he said, you know, he said, I want to serve God. He said, but I've been married and divorced and remarried and so forth. He said, I got a family now with my current wife. We got kids and all. And he said, the church is telling me that if I get saved, then I have to divorce my current wife and go back to my other one. It's just nonsense. No scripture for that. You know, and so I like what Norval said to him. He said, oh, forget it. You can't unscramble scrambled eggs. So sometimes before we knew God, we scrambled our lives up. But God's got a way, man, of getting that in His will and working that out and making it all work good. Right? But if you're committed to God, then you ought to ask Him. Right? You shouldn't just be drawn away with the hairy chain or the hairy chest and the gold chain. Oh, it just ain't working right for me tonight. Come back Sunday. The hairy chest, the gold chain. I mean, you know, the Tom Selleck thing. How many remember that? I remember him. He may still be on. He's probably got gray hair on his chest now. But you know how he'd wear his shirt, you know, the Hawaiian shirt, have the chain. Oh, well, that was Brother Don that come to church here. I'm thinking, all right. He did that, did he? How many understand what I'm saying is this? If you're a servant of God, you don't own your life any longer. You don't do with it just what you want to do. You ask Him. Right? You ask Him. You know. Now, all right, are you in Romans chapter 12? All right, good. I'm glad you're there. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at this. Paul said this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, if He owns us, it's just reasonable for Him to ask for your body. Let's think about a slave, a servant. What's the requirements of a servant? You've got to present your body, right? Now, notice the next thing. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So think about this. Just think about this in the natural. A servant's got to do two things. He's got to present his body to his master. He can't just say, I'm tired today. Right? That's not going to fly. And guess what? He's got to renew his mind to do things the way his master wants them done. Because he's a servant. Just think about this. When you take a job, what are you doing? You're presenting your body to your employer in that sense that he's hiring you out to work. And guess what you do? You're supposed to renew your mind to His way of thinking about the business. Isn't that right? You no longer do things the way you want them done. You do them the way He wants them done. Come on. See, this is the thing we have to understand about God. If He's our Lord, if He's our Adonai, then we need to give our bodies in service to Him. And then we need to renew our minds to His way of thinking. See, you know, people say, well, you know, well, the culture's changed and all that. I don't care how the culture's changed. I'm still serving a God. You have to go talk to Him. If you get Him to change His mind about some things, then I'll change my mind on Him. But good luck with that one, because He's not going to change His mind about anything He's already said. Because He said it right to start with, right? So we got to understand, we can't think the way we want to think. We can't do what we want to do. We think the way He wants us to think. We do what He wants us to do. Is this good or what? Yeah. All right. All right, let's go. We're in Romans 12. Go to Romans 14. We'll close right here. All right, so the two things, if we're going to be servants of God, we got to do is we got to present our bodies and we got to renew our minds. We got to present our bodies. In other words, my body doesn't tell me what to do. The Word of God, God tells me what to do with my body. Right? My body, it's not the boss any longer. It got bought. Actually, it got bought out of the slave pit of Satan. He owned it. And it got bought. Hallelujah. And so we're redeemed. And so now I'm supposed to put my body in service for God. You know how many people miss church on Sunday mornings across the nation because their body didn't want to go? Yeah, that many. Well, that's just being legalistic. No, God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Man, we've had people in this church that we're their pastors, they love us, and when we see them about once every 2 months. I'm not your judge, but I am going to have to answer for you. The Bible says that, you know, that you're to submit yourselves to your leaders, for they must give an account of you before God and do it so they don't have to do it with grief. So one day God's going to ask me about every sheep that's part of this church and say, were they a good sheep or were they a bad sheep? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't see them very often. I don't know what they were doing. I'm not preaching at you. You're here. It's Wednesday night. Dear Lord God, give yourself a pat on the back or something. I mean, come on. Y'all looking at me like, man, Pastor's getting on to me. Why would I be getting on to you? I know if I sound that way, I don't mean that, because the Wednesday night crowd's here Sunday and Wednesday and usually for the special services. But I have a lot of pastor friends. Matter of fact, most of them say when I have a special service, if other people from other churches don't come, we don't have anybody there. That's wrong. We didn't do this for other people. We did this for, well, I'm just busy. Well, you've got a problem. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the shepherd of your soul is having a meeting, you ought to get yourself in here and obey God. And not just flesh out and do something else. Now, if you have a real issue, God knows that. That's different. God, you know, like a master, he knows when his servant's really sick or when he just didn't show up. There's a huge difference, and God knows the difference too. And so, you know, I'm just simply saying, see, people think, oh, my body, I can do what I want to. That's the rebellious nature in the church. I just do what I want to do, Pastor. You don't tell me what to do. Well, nobody tells you what to do. God doesn't tell you what to do. Because if you were listening to God, you'd listen to the scriptures that says, submit yourself to those that are over you and obey them. When I have a special meeting, you'd be here. Not you, you're here. Or when I'm just showing up, or it's just me. Well, it's just Pastor, we can miss. Well, how about maybe you're taking things for granted? Yeah. Not you, you're here. We're just preaching. It just feels good. Is this all right if I just And it's feel goods, man. See, we got to learn. We don't own ourselves any longer. We were bought with a price. Amen. I grew up out there in the pews like you did too. And every time my pastor had a meeting or the church doors were open, I was there unless there was something going on. There might be occasionally something going on, but that was the exception, not the rule. And we didn't always live. Well, I did, but Phyllis didn't always live close to the church. I remember she would come when she started coming to our church, and she'd drive, I don't know, 30 miles, 40 miles, whatever it was to get there. And she'd be there all the time, be there early for prayer and everything else. Amen. Amen. Are you with me now? Steve said she was in love with me. I wasn't there to begin with. That's right. All right. Now, so anyway, I like your story better than hers. But anyway, she was in love with me. How many are following what I'm saying? You've got to be obedient to God's word if you're His servant. Are you with me now? Now people use all kinds of excuses for, well, I'm just tired, and all my relatives came over. Well, occasionally relatives come over, but like five times in 6 weeks. Tell them where the fridge is at and tell them you're going to church. I mean, the devil will send people by your way if you let them do that. Amen. Well, this isn't going any way I thought it was going to go. You in Romans 4, we better close while we can. All right, it's good preaching anyway. Amen. Now, because, I'm just going to stay on for a little bit. A lot of my friends, they talk about that. And they say, when I have a special meeting, my people don't come. That's a shame. This is church-wide. This isn't just with a few churches. This is church-wide. It shouldn't be that way. We ought to be there. That's why we had the special meetings. We didn't have the special meetings so Phyllis and I could come to them. We could just meet with the preacher halfway, have coffee, and save some money. Woo, hallelujah. We did it for the edification. And people miss things a lot. They miss impartations. God's got things for you that you're just going to miss. You're not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Right? I'll never forget something I heard Brother Copeland say one time. He said, he'd go to Brother Hagin's meetings. In those early days, Brother Hagin would have those meetings, and a lot of the famous preachers that we know today would come to those meetings, And they didn't have a real big auditorium. It didn't seat a whole lot of people. But, in those days, this is the early days, but Brother Copeland said, I'd always go to those, and I'd always sit on the front row. He said, but at the end of service, before it ended, I'd sneak out and leave. He said, I just did that, made a habit of that. He said, one night, he said, I got up, Gloria and I left and snuck out. And he said, Brother Hagin had a word for me. He said, is Ken Copeland here? No, he's already gone. He said, I never forgot that. I asked Brother Hagin, what was that word? He said, well, I can't remember it now. He lost it. He said, after that, he said, I didn't leave till the meeting was dismissed. Are you with me now? See, one pastor, a friend of Dr. Barclay's, he said this, because people don't listen to you and they don't realize sometimes you're hearing from the Spirit of God. But one pastor told Dr. Barclay, he said, Dr. Barclay, he said, every time in my church, he said, when I get an altar call, he said, people start leaving. He said, and the Lord told me, he said, tell them stop doing that. He said, so I told him, I said, stop doing that. Don't do that. Wait till the service is dismissed. Don't do that. One thing, it's irreverent to the Spirit of God. Number two, the Lord's leading me to tell you, don't do that. And he said, he said that. He said a few weeks later, after he began telling them, the Lord's telling me to tell you, don't do that. He said they didn't listen. He said they still get up and leave. And he said, one day at the end of the service, he said, I've said it again, don't leave, don't leave. He said people still got up and left, He said it hadn't been just a few moments till one of the ushers came up to me and tapped me and said, Pastor, we got to pray. One of the couples that left, they went out, they were going down the road, going down the intersection, and the car ran through the intersection and killed the whole family. He said, I got up before him. He told Dr. Barclay this. He said, I got before him the next Sunday morning. He said, why won't you people listen to me? If that family had listened, they'd be alive. They'd have been in church when that accident happened. That's good preaching. I don't know why I'm off on this, but anyway, it's just good preaching anyway. We got to just learn to listen, amen, and be servants of God, not our own flesh. Well, you know, my flesh is wanting to beat the Baptists to the cafeteria. Okay, so you're going to miss out from something from God so you can get a hot roll or something. I don't get you. It isn't worth it. Why don't you just stay late and let them all clear out and get some fresh food?
Amen.
Amen. Now, oh, man. Oh, Romans 14, are you there? Verse 9, the Bible says to this end. Everybody say to this end. Or it'd be maybe better to say for this reason, this cause. Christ both died, rose, and revived or lived again that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. The whole thing Jesus went through is so he could be Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we, you know, and listen, the more we submit to his lordship, the freer we're going to be. You can't really live a Christian victorious Christian life if you don't submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You got to submit to it. His lordship, what he wants. Yep. Amen. Now, you don't, not what we think, not what we think, but what he said. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to tell you what I think about it, Pastor. Listen, what you think about it and what I think about it really doesn't matter. It's what he said about it. Well, here's just the way I think. It's like a guy told me one time. He told me this. I'm not kidding, Jill. A guy tells me this. That's supposed to be an intelligent person. And we're talking about tithing. And I'm telling him, you know, tithe means 10%. You understand? The word tithe means 10%. That's not hard to figure out. 10%. And it says, of all your increase.
That's right.
And this guy tells me, he says, well, here's the way I got it figured out. Well, you're wrong already.
Right.
Well, here's the way I got it figured out. Okay, how you got it figured out? I got it figured out if I come to church and I got $60 in my billfold and I give six, I've tithed for the week. Well, you could figure it that way, but you'd be stupid. And you'd be wrong. The reason you'd be stupid is because I just informed you that's not the way it works.
Right.
Ignorant means you didn't know. Stupid means you know and you chose not to do it.
Right.
So you'd be stupid and you'd be wrong because the Bible doesn't say tithe what you got on you. It says your increase.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know. What do you do with people like that? Well, you try to tell them, and if they don't listen, then you just let them do whatever they want to do. And then when they get in trouble, then they'll call you for counseling. And then you'll be so tempted to say, I told you so. But you don't do that because you're nice and your wife tells you don't do that. Don't say that. Oh, man, I was so miffed at somebody one night in church. I was going to let them have it, man. Oh, man, they really lit my fuse. I said, I'll see you in my office. And Phyllis all the way back, remember, you're the leader. You're in charge. You're the leader. You're in charge. In other words, cool it down. You know. But I was going to light them up until she stepped. I still lit them up a little bit, but we didn't send them into outer orbit, all right? I was going to send them to the moon and back like Alice, man. Only not back, just send them there and keep them there after what they said and did. None of you all, so don't look around. It was Brother Greg. No, I'm teasing. Brother Greg's never caused me any problems. Amen. They just said some things they shouldn't have said, man. And I heard them. They said it so I could hear it. And I heard it. And I said, see me in my office. We'll discuss this right now. Anyway, see, the thing that I'm saying is this. We have to understand that when we made Jesus Christ Lord of our life, he's really to be Lord, not just Savior.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.